ever stopped to think about the wide variety of experiences that we have within our congregation? When you look around and we've spent a decent amount of time with each other for the most part, but do you think about how different each of our life experiences are? There is really very few things that are similar in a lot of ways. If you just look at the way our lives go, I mean, we live in different houses. Maybe you live in an apartment. You rent. You own. Maybe you live on a farm. You live out in the woods. You live in the city, suburbs. You live on a lake. So many different things just in where we live, how close we live. Some of us live relatively close to church. Some of us still have a many, many mile drive to get here. There's differences in how we live. You know, some of us are working in a plant, working in an office. Some of us are retired. Some of us are working from home or some combination of both of those. There are single people, married people, divorced people, widowed people. Some of us live by ourselves or live just two people. Some of us have a family that we live with. Some of us have animals, some of us don't. Some of us are cat people, some of us are dog people. So many differences in our lives and how that's just what's going currently. That's not even talking about our past experiences, the way that our things that we've gone through as we've grown up. And it's amazing how many differences when you start thinking about it. And I don't think we do think about it that often, but when you put your mind to it and say, wow, how different everyone else is from me, how different their experience is from mine. And it's interesting to think about just how little we actually had in common before God called us. God put us into this room, into this congregation. Most of us wouldn't have even made contact with each other in a normal life where God wasn't involved. Most of us, even then, probably wouldn't have been friends. When you just look at what we share, what we have in common in those kind of interests, on a personal level, there's more differences than there are similarities between all of us. More things that are different than there are similar, and yet we're here and we're together. With different personalities, with different jobs, with different ideas, we're together. We're spending time together, worshiping together, singing together, talking together, laughing together, hopefully more than anything else, but crying with each other, sharing with each other, growing old with each other, and I notice that more and more as I get older and older. It's all because of one similarity that we have. And that similarity is God's calling. That's what brought us together. That's what put us in this room, in this congregation together, was God calling us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and we're going to read verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body, one spirit, one calling. Brought together by those things to bring us from many different people, many different backgrounds into one. And it's one of the greatest miracles that God performs, is bringing us out of all of those different things into, and makes us into one. We don't always agree. We don't always get along. We try to, but we don't always get along. Sometimes we are a little miffed at each other for one thing or another. But we have to make it work. Right? We have to make it work. God says, you're here, you're in this together. How do we do that? How do we make it work? How do we take all of these odd parts, and make them work together into something that works that actually does, that accomplishes, that is pleasing to God. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll look a little farther as we get our focus down toward the focus of the message. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to begin in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members are not, or do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members to each other. One body, individual members. And he begins to refer here in Romans to an idea that we're going to focus on. And that idea is that there we are formed into a body, just like in many ways with many similarities to our physical body, and many lessons that we can learn about how we act with each other, how we work together, how we think about ourselves and how we think about each other, by looking at that example that he refers to here in Romans. And we're going to turn to another scripture shortly that goes into more detail about that. We're told that if we want to understand our relationship with Christ and with each other, with all of these other people that we've been called with, we can look to the example of our own physical body and how that works and draw parallels and draw some answers and how we make it work here in this time. So that is what we're going to look at today. We're going to learn what we can about how our body works, how God views us working in that same way as part of another body, a larger body, a spiritual body. We're going to see those parallels between the physical body and the spiritual body, and remind ourselves of some of the things that we should be thinking about. As I said, there is one passage that goes into more detail about this idea. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Or it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so I'm going to begin by reading through, well, I'm going to read from verse 12 through verse 27 to give us the whole picture, the whole statement that Paul makes related to this body that we're a part of. And then we'll break that down and pull some principles, some ideas from what Paul has written here. I'm going to read from the New Literal Translation as I read through this passage, just because it takes out some of the older English, other word that isn't as easy to understand, and I thought it puts it into a pretty understandable way. So 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body, one whole body. And so it is also with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how could you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. It'd be some sci-fi monster, the giant ear. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require that special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all of the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Obviously, a lot of information, there are a lot of things that we can think about as far as how we relate to each other and how we should think about each other. And we're going to break down, as I said, these passages and pull some points from them, more specifics, and we'll read certain parts and talk about those points. What can we learn about our relationship with each other by looking at our own body? The first point that's made here is that despite all of our differences, there are things we have in common. I started this message talking about all of the things that, all the ways we're different, or a number of the ways that we're different. And I did that because that's what we needed to think about to begin with. Because part of the blessing, part of the miracle is that in spite of all of those differences, there are things we have in common. Let's read verse 12 and 13 again. The human body has many parts. Oh, and by the way, I wanted you to know, I'm making this really easy for you today. You will not have to turn out of 1 Corinthians 12 for the rest of the sermon. So I'll keep it right here. No more page turning. You just can focus on things. So first, again, 12 and 13. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and Gentiles. Some of us are slaves and free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we share that same Spirit. We are all part of the body of Christ, of one spiritual organism, one spiritual body. There are not multiple bodies of Christ. There are not multiple spiritual bodies. God calls everyone that he calls into that one body. And that body is Christ's. It belongs to Christ. Our task, our goal is to make ourselves mirror Christ as much as we can. The body is Christ's. How many different bodies do you have? You have one body. God is just, again, he's using the physical to help us understand clearly what he's talking about. There is one body. It's impossible without drastic action, I guess I'll say. I guess I'll add that little caveat in there. To swap a body part. I can't walk over to you and grab your arm and pull it off and put it onto my body. My body is my body. The parts that I have are the parts that I'm going to have. And I'm going to live with those. God's body, Christ's body, the spiritual body, is his. God puts the parts where which we also read and we'll go into more. Again, he puts those parts within the body where they fit, where he knows that they work, where he knows that they can contribute the most to the body. We're stuck with each other because I don't have the power to swap a body part in the spiritual body of Christ. Not my job, not my power. God puts us together. God's the one that can take us out. And he doesn't. He forces us to pull ourselves out of the body if that's what happens. Once he calls us and puts us into that body, he's going to continue to give us every chance to stay there, to continue to work, to continue to make ourselves a more effective contributing part of that body. So we're stuck with each other. Doesn't matter whether you get along right now, but you should learn to get along, because we're stuck with each other. And if you think someone else is weird, there's probably someone else in the congregation thinking you're weird too. And we all are, to some degree, a little bit weird. So just get used to it. You know, again, going back to that parallel with the physical body, there's sometimes parts of my body are not contributing the way that they should, that I would like them to contribute. And I'm still stuck with them. I still have to make the best of it. And Again, that's the way that God works with his spiritual body as well. We are linked together. As I said, we have some things in common. Two things that we were just mentioned, that we are part of one body, that is a common denominator of all of us with our calling, one body. And that linkage, with the thing that ties us together, that binds us as a body, is the same Spirit, God's Spirit. We share those two things, and those two things are incredibly powerful. Every person at baptism receives God's Spirit. Every young person, every person that God is calling, has access to God through that same Holy Spirit. Again, it isn't, the Bible only talks about really two spirits. There's one we want to have in our life. There's another one we don't. We don't want that spirit of the devil to be active in our life. It is certainly sometimes, but part of our growth is removing that or working to minimize the effect that have, and again, how increase the amount that God's Spirit is working in us and through us. God's Spirit is like the nervous system of the body of Christ. It's that bridge, that rote method of communication that God uses, that Christ uses, to communicate with all of us and to tie us together. The nervous system in the body, our physical body, is the same thing. Anything that needs to be done, the commands, the directions, go through the nervous system. And it's what allows different parts of our body to work together, to do the things that each individual part could never do on their own. And God's Spirit is exactly the same way. It serves that same function. It's how God communicates. It's how God ties us together. It's how God, if we listen, coordinates our actions and coordinates our thoughts. And we've talked about it before. There's many ways, if you're looking for it, that you see God doing things like that, where your thoughts are the same as someone else's. If you've been thinking about someone, maybe they've been thinking about you. We have it many times when we're giving messages up here, where if there's a sermonette and a sermon, they will touch on the same topic. It's happened more times than you could ever justify as just being a coincidence. God communicates to his spiritual body through his Spirit, using his Spirit. And that body, the body of Christ, gets into trouble when we as individuals, or even as groups of individuals, damage that connection or weaken that connection so that the message doesn't get through or the message isn't acted on. Because God is communicating with each one of us regularly. Now, I wouldn't say constantly. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to claim that. But God is communicating with all of us. It's a matter of whether we have made our part attuned to that nervous system the way that we should. So it's important to remember that we do have things in common as we approach this. And we think about, again, how we deal with each other and how we make this work. It's like some of those old movies where you've got someone who's lost control of their body or just regaining control of their body, and it's kind of like stomp, 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 and it's uncoordinated and barely standing and barely walking and can't touch anything and grab anything. We don't want the body of Christ to be that way. We want it to be a smooth running athletic machine that can do things. But each one of us, as we're reading and as we'll go into, have a part in how well that body functions. Each of us contributes to whether that body can do what Christ really wants it to do, or he has to hold back because there aren't enough parts able to work together in the way that he needs. So that first point that we can draw is that even though there are differences, we do have things in common. And the second point that's made in 1 Corinthians and that we'll look at is that even though we have things in common, we are very different. And that's important to remember, too. God really gives us two different perspectives, or Paul does, or God does through Paul in 1 Corinthians, at least, on how those differences can be viewed, and generally how people view those differences. There one of the ways that people can view those differences is that their differences from other people make them less of a part or a less important part of the body than someone else. We can see those differences and view them as meaning we are less important, less of a contributor. Turn to, we're going to read verses 14 through 16 now. Yes, verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? It's talking about looking at your life, looking at who you are, and saying, I'm just not that important to the functioning of the body. I'm not, pick a trait or a talent or a position or whatever that you think is just awesome within the body. I'm not that, so I don't really mean anything to the body. He's saying there are people, there is a trap of thinking that way. That because you're not doing something specifically, you're not in a certain position, you're not whatever, that you aren't important to the body, and you're not therefore important to God. You know, he talks about, well, I'm not the hand or the eye. You know, I'm only the foot or the ear. People don't look into my feet when they're talking to me. They don't see. They see my eyes. The hands are what does everything. You know, the foot just walks around or stands there. Again, it's just trying to make a point that just because you don't necessarily have, you aren't able to do something in service to the body, that you aren't important still. Maybe you think, or you've been led to feel, that you're just the appendix of the body. That little squiggly thing down there stuck in the corner that nobody really knows what it's getting good for. And therefore, it's not important. You don't do anything. You don't serve any function. We're being told, don't think that. Don't allow yourself to think that you're unimportant. One of the traps that comes if you think that way is you can tell yourself, I'm not that important, so why should I put that much effort into anything? Growing, serving, changing, it's not that important. Nobody will care if I'm gone. Nobody will care if I grow. No, it doesn't make any difference to anybody but me. A lot of negative emotions, and you know in general, or we should know, that those don't come from God. But that's the trap of thinking that you aren't important in the functioning of the body. Our job, our goal as a part of the body of Christ, is to make sure that we maintain that part, that we take care of our part that we are able to contribute. If you're a foot, again, I'll use physical analogies. If you're a foot, trim your toenails. Keep yourself clean. We don't need stinky feet. Make yourself the best foot you could possibly be. Strengthen yourself so that when it comes time to run and jump, you contribute the way a foot should to those actions. If you're an ear, clean out the earwax. Trim those long, straggly hairs that are growing out of your eardrum. Make yourself the best. And I don't think God ever says, I'm going to tell you this is the part of the body, that you're the ear of the body. You're part of the foot of the body. The lesson isn't try to figure out what part of the body you most relate to. It's to recognize that you are a part of the body and that you are part of the function. You're a necessary part of the body for it to function properly. The body needs our best for it to function at its best. And that means everyone. The second way that we can look at those differences that can lead us into some trouble as well is, again, flipping that idea on its head, seeing differences between how you serve in the church or you work in the church or where you think you are spiritually and how you act, and thinking that that makes you more important to the body, to the functioning of the body, more useful, more necessary than someone else. We'll read verses 20 through 22 next. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Can't say, you're not important. I'm more important than you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Don't allow your opportunity, the opportunities you've been given to serve, the way that you've been allowed to serve, the things that God has blessed you with being able to do within the body, lead to pride, lead to looking down on someone else. And part of that comparing gets us into trouble many, many times. I mean, there's certainly some value in looking at other people's good examples and seeing those good examples, either by talking to them or just examining them, seeing what allows them to be that kind of example in that area. But in general, comparing yourself to someone else when we're so different just gets us into trouble. It leads to wrong thoughts, wrong actions, wrong attitudes. There are times where it may seem like you're doing all the work and everybody else is just sitting around. That could be actually physically serving around here. That could be in what you're focused on in your spiritual life, how you're praying about something and nobody else is. You're doing all the work and everybody, it doesn't matter to anybody else. And you start to think, why am I doing all of this and no one else is doing their part? How come no one else is picking up the slack? And, you know, sometimes that will be the truth, that you are doing all of a certain thing. You are the one that's focusing on this aspect of how the body has to function more than other people. The danger is in thinking that that means everybody else is doing nothing. Again, the body has many parts. The body has many functions. The body needs many things to be done for it to function properly and smoothly. If every part of the body only focused on listening, what the ear does, the body would fall apart. So making the assumption that because you only see yourself focused on one certain aspect and thinking that means everybody else is just slacking off, I'm the only one doing all the good stuff, is a attitude that will get us into trouble again. It doesn't lead to unity within the body and proper functioning. It leads to dysfunction. There are many forms of service. Many forms of service. Some that are easy to see, some that happen behind the scenes that many times go unnoticed, unrecognized, unappreciated other than by God and probably someone else who's actually directly being served. That doesn't mean that because you only see one person doing one kind of service or you're only doing that and you're the only one that no one else is serving. There are many forms of leadership within the body, many ways that people can lead and help. And again, like I said, many functions within the body. Nothing wrong with recognizing differences. Nothing wrong with recognizing that different people are focusing on different things, but thinking that either makes us less important or more important to the overall function of the body is where Paul and Christ were really trying to get us to recognize in what we're reading here in 1 Corinthians 12. We jumped past verses 17 and 19. I'd like to read those now. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Our bodies have many parts. And God has put each part, and he's using the physical body again, but pointing to a spiritual principle. God has put each part where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. God looks at us, knows us better than we do, knows where we fit into the body, knows how we fit, and recognizes where there's a need within the body and puts us there. He doesn't just do it because he knows that we need to be part of the body. He's creating a spiritual organism with thousands, ultimately millions, of individual parts working that need to all work together. So he puts us there, which means the way that I believe that means that works is it means he gives us the opportunities. He gives us the that work for us. He opens doors for us that we need. The door that he opens for you isn't going to be the door that he opens for me, because I don't fit in the same place. I don't work in the same way. I don't need to learn the same lessons. I certainly need all of those things, but they're different. So he puts us where we need to be. And again, I think there's two very important lessons just from that simple statement, that God put us there. God's chosen us to be a part of the body, and he's put us where we need to be. And that he knows we can contribute. He knows that he's put us in a place where we can contribute. We all have a part to play. It's different from other people's parts, but it's just as important as those other parts. And behind and under all of this, Paul is reminding them that it's important that you do your part, that you contribute. If any part of our body stops functioning, eventually we suffer. Physical body. If any part of our body stops functioning, we eventually suffer. Might not notice it right away, but eventually our body doesn't work that well. The spiritual body is the same way. Every part contributes. If a part isn't functioning properly, the body suffers in some way. That means if I'm not doing my part, if I'm not growing, if I'm not being taught, if I'm not being led, I am causing everyone else to suffer in some way, hopefully small way, because I certainly fail in those things from time to time. But I'm causing suffering. If you aren't contributing what God has told you, where God has put you, if you're not doing your part to be the best functioning part of the body, you're also causing other people to suffer. We're in this together. We work together. We work best if we all work together and we're all contributing together. I came across, this is a tongue-in-cheek eulogy, but it's good to smile a little bit. This is a little funny, so I'm going to read it to you and we can laugh and then talk a little bit. I know that all of you are saddened to learn this week of the death of one of our church's most valuable members, someone else. Someone's passing created a vacancy that will be hard to fill. Else has been with us for many years, and for every one of those years, someone did far more than the normal person's share of the work. Whenever leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked to for inspiration as well as results. Someone else can work with that group. Wherever there was a job to be done, or a job to do, a class to be taught, a meeting to attend, one name was on everyone's lips. Someone else. Let someone else do it. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the largest givers in the church. Whenever there was a need, everyone just assumed that someone else would make up the difference. Someone else was a wonderful person, sometimes appearing superhuman, but a person can only do so much. Were the truth known, everyone expected too much from someone else. Now someone else is gone. We wonder what we're going to do. Someone else left a wonderful example to follow, but who's going to follow it? Who's going to do the things someone else did? Remember, we can't depend on someone else anymore. The death of someone else. It is a lesson for us. When we see a need, when we see something that needs to be done, and again, that isn't just physical service. That's, you hear an announcement and someone says, pray for this person, or think about this person, or help this in some way. Do you say, maybe you don't say it right then, you say, oh, well, I'll do that, but in the end, you're letting someone else be the one that does that because you don't take care of it. You don't follow through with that. It's very easy, again, to let someone else do all of those things. And it's a question we have to ask ourselves. Am I contributing? Am I doing everything I can to contribute to the body of Christ? Am I seizing the opportunities that God gives me? Am I making sure that I'm doing the things to provide nourishment to my part of the body, praying and fasting and meditation and studying? Am I doing what I can? Am I exercising my part of the body so that it's as strong and healthy and vital as it can be? Every part of the body, again, is that, as we said in that point, every part of the body is important, even though it's different. The third lesson that we can learn from these scriptures is that the weakest part of the body should receive the most attention. The weakest part of the body should receive the most attention. We'll read verses 23 through 26 again. The parts that we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care, so we carefully protect those parts that shouldn't be seen, while the other, more honorable parts don't require that kind of care. But God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to the parts with less dignity. This makes for harmony. God set up the body and the way it works so that there would be weakness that needs to be cared for and nurtured to give extra honor, to give a blessing to the body. This makes for harmony and to create unity within the body by making it necessary to strengthen those parts of the body when they're weak. And let's be clear, every person here is that weak part, that weak link from time to time. None of us are always, I'm the strong part, I should be looking for these weak people, these weak parts to take care of and lift up, because it's never me that needs any of that. All of us become the weak part at some point. We may not recognize it sometimes. We may think we've got it all together. We may think we're doing great. But in the end, usually God will show us that this was a time where you were weak. This is the time where other people, hopefully, were supporting you and strengthening you. Verse 25 will continue, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Human nature doesn't really like weakness, doesn't tolerate weakness, doesn't like difference a lot of times. Human nature is more comfortable if everybody is just like me and agrees with me and thinks that I'm the special and knows that I'm the smartest person around and I'm all good. Human nature doesn't really like those differences and doesn't like weakness. And it's easy for that attitude to carry over into the church if we're not on guard, if we're not recognizing how we need to function and how we need to react to each other. When we have a part in our body, our physical body, that is giving us trouble, how do we deal with it? What do we normally do? So you've got a ingrown toenail. Let's just use that one because that's the one I came up with when I wrote the message. You've got an ingrown toenail. What do you do? Do you say, well, you know, that really hurts. I don't like it. I don't like the way it feels. This has gone on for just way too long. I don't want this discomfort anymore. I'm just going to cut my toe off. No. You pamper it. You baby it. You find out what may be causing the problem, and you deal with it. But you do it gently because an ingrown toenail hurts when you try to, if you ever try to cut that thing and get that thing free. You baby those things, the things that are causing trouble. You wrap it up and put medicine on it. You keep the pressure off of it. Focus a lot of attention on that toe until it heals up. Too many times within the spiritual body, our reaction is just the opposite. If there's someone that's making you feel uncomfortable, you stay away from them. You run away from them. You don't go and try to figure out why that is. You don't try to bring unity and harmony. You feel uncomfortable, and so you move away from the discomfort. And, you know, there are a lot of different ways that we can just wish humanly, I wish I didn't have to be here right now. But God's Spirit should lead us to recognize that that's not the right response. You know, when you go up to someone and you say, oh, how was your week? You're expecting that, oh, it was great, and you can walk right on. And when you get surprised and you're into a half-hour conversation about how many problems that person had, if you're not in the right frame of mind, you start to back away a little bit and look around and see if you can pull someone else in, or you can find something, an excuse to walk away. That's not how the spiritual body of Christ should function. And we have to know and recognize that's our human tendency. That's not something that God's Spirit is creating within us, the desire to walk away and react differently, respond differently. God says, we're told right there, that he puts weaker members in the body. He puts weaker members in the body for the good of the body, to bring harmony and unity. Because if we respond with his Spirit the way that we should, it bonds us together. And if you've ever had that, where you've actually done that, where someone is really at a low point in their life and really struggling, and you take the time to hear them, listen to them, encourage them, there's a link, there's a bond that's created there, a tie that isn't physical. It isn't like you're now symbiotic. It isn't like, but through God's Spirit, through that nervous system, your link with that person is a little bit stronger. Verse 25 really says that you can only be a truly, completely functioning part of the body if you do care for the weaker member that way. That it's part of what we have to do, we should do. I learned an important lesson about my body through an injury that I had when I was younger, quite a bit younger now. It's getting longer and longer, farther and farther back in my history. I used to love to play basketball. Loved it. It was a great sport. Always enjoyed it. And one of the strengths was, for a short guy, I could jump pretty well. And so, you know, I loved that. I loved to be a short guy and have to jump against a tall guy and him think he had everything in the bag because he was taller and find out that wasn't the way. But I used to love that. And then at one point I tore my ACL. And I went through all of the rehab, you know, strengthening, mobility, flexibility. Had to wear a brace for a while until it healed. But it got to the point where I could take the brace off. My muscles had all strengthened up. And I did have a replacement. So the ligament was there, just wasn't as strong as the original. But I did have, I could go back and do all the things that I wanted, to run and play and everything. The biggest surprise that I had is that I couldn't jump off that leg at all. I mean, barely at all. And I remember the surprise when I actually tried it. It was a layup. So I'm going up for a layup, ready to get up, get off the ground, jump off the ground, and nothing happens. I mean, I don't know, probably it was like, I was like a white man, you know, maybe 2 or 3 inches probably is about all I got off the ground. And it was a surprise. And I tried to figure out why, because as far as I could tell, all the rehab was good, was done. You know, the doctors that I'd seen said, well, yeah, you know, it's all healed nicely, should be good to go. And I didn't, for a long time, I couldn't find, never could get an answer. What was going on? Why I couldn't anymore. And then finally I went to a physical therapist for a different injury. And he's the one that explained, well, the surgery that I had actually cut a nerve bundle that went through my knee. And so what was happening was, again, the nerves are the communication system, right? So because the nerves aren't communicating with my brain doesn't know the positioning of all those parts of my lower leg. Didn't know where my knee was compared to my foot, to my how my lower leg was going. None of it, the brain didn't know. So the brain is saying, I don't know if they're in the right position to jump without hurting you. I'm not letting you jump. And so I couldn't. I mean, I could consciously say, I want to jump. And really nothing ever happened. And it never really changed because the communication was never there. And it was, you know, it was an interesting lesson about how, that nervous system works, how the brain works, how all of those things go. But I tell you the story because there's a spiritual relationship, a spiritual lesson that's similar that we have for there. Christ communicates, God communicates to all of us through that spirit. They're ready for the body to jump. They're ready for us to be able to move. They want this body to grow, to preach the gospel, to become a more visible presence. They want us to be able to be more. And Christ knows that there's going to be a time where the body is going to need to move. It's going to need to be able to operate efficiently for protection, for preaching, for many different things. But I think that there have been times where Christ does exactly the same thing as my brain was doing with me. He says, I don't know if all the parts of the body are in the right position. I don't know if they're strong enough. I don't know if they're able to work together the way that they need to be able to jump, to be able to do whatever door could be open there. And so he has to say, well, not now, maybe later. And that's a shame, certainly. I think sometimes we talk about, you know, there not being a lot of growth and not a lot of opportunities and things like that. And we can make a lot of excuses, but I think it comes down to, are we, the body isn't ready. It isn't, we aren't linked together strongly enough through God's Spirit. We aren't doing what we can. There are too many parts of the body that aren't strong enough yet. You know, I mean, the little toe is important to jumping. It contributes to a jump. It's just a little toe. It isn't anything. It isn't muscles. It isn't anything. But it's a little toe, but it contributes. Every part contributes. And that's where we have to recognize how important understanding that we are a part of this body and an important part of this body is. Because if we don't do our part to maintain where we are, the part that God has given us to be, the whole body suffers. We just read that. The whole body is limited. It may not be major, because then that would mean you're the keystone to whether the body can do anything or not. But it's weaker. It's less effective. We all have a part to play in that body. Our human body is a wonderful thing. It is an amazing creation. But the spiritual body of Christ is far more amazing, far more wonderful. It's eternal. Its potential for good is far greater. Its potential for success. We need to learn and remember the lessons that we've covered today. keep this that idea, that recognition that you're a part of an important part of the body of Christ in front of you as you go and live your life. Go through those experiences. Do the things that you have to do. Remember that you are a part and an important part of that body that God has put there, that God has put in that place. And each and every one of us is needed by the rest of the body. Let's read verse 27, the last one that I read at the start, the last one that we'll read today. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it, has a part. All of you are Christ's body. It is a great blessing to be a part of the body of Christ. Awesome blessing to be a part. Let's focus on the things that we have in common as we worship and we work and we grow and we live together. Let's accept our differences rather than allow them to divide us. Let's do our part to strengthen each other when we're weak. Let's keep our own individual line of communication with the Father and Christ open and active. No damaged nerves connecting us to the body of Christ so that we can follow their direction when it's given. Let's make sure we are doing all that we can to be a valuable part of the body of Christ.